This is Catherine Newman, writer of the Dolly Mama blog. It's December 24th, 2007, and today's entry is Sorry. What happens is that a plague of locusts descends on our house. A blizzard ices over our very hearts. A tornado crashes through and whirls away all our earthly happiness because someone has been vaguely unkind. I know. Can you believe it? A human child acting human? Michael and I have cozied up with Birdie in the children's bed to read Stuart Little. And when Ben skips into the room to join us, Birdie says gleefully, "Oh, I'm sorry, Benny. There's no room for you." What you might not be able to hear is the way the word sorry is festooned with balloons and streamers. Regret reborn as the good humor truck. Birdie, I say, sharp as the very knitting needle of righteousness that I suddenly am. That is so unkind. Sorry, Birdie says, and now the word has contracted into the world's smallest living Confederate utterance, as if an ant has whispered its apology to an amoeba's turned back. Sorry, Birdie, I tease, now there's no room for you. And even as I'm hearing my words sound more unkind than I intended, even as Ben, my wise and compassionate 8-year-old, is humbling me with his warning, "Mama, two wrongs don't make a right." Even as I'm feeling the awful electric current of power surge through me, Birdie's face is falling. Her chin and mouth crumple inwards as if they've been built over a fault line, and she sobs a terrible wet sob, her open lips strung together with saliva and misery. "Oh, honey," I say, "I'm sorry. That really wasn't such a big deal. I shouldn't have spoken so sharply to you. I think I'm in a grumpy mood." "Why?" Ben asks. "Why are you in a grumpy mood?" And while Birdie shudders and snuffles against me, I say words like work and tired and hear myself sounding like a caricature of grown-up. Andy Cap hoping he won't tumble drunkenly into the canal before getting a chance to humiliate his wife about the burnt meat pies. The children must dread adulthood. But it's also true that Birdie's graciousness is, how to put this, like a crashed hard drive. Usually she's enthusiastic and polite, but in the past few days she hasn't been. You don't even get the startup ding, the sound of the fans whirring, which would be okay if I weren't division chief of the manners Gestapo. At my work today, for instance, someone at the computer center had kindly gotten down a box of toys for her to play with, and she said, listen for it, "Oops." "I'm not sure he heard you," I whispered coachishly, and she said it again out the back of her skull. "Goo." It's the gratitude form of pushing an old person out on an iceberg. I shrugged, embarrassed, and thanked him myself. What I want is for the children to perform like trained monkeys, only I know better, so I don't want to see evidence of the training, just the seamless trainedness that makes it feel as though gracious exhales naturally from their very pores. And they're good kids, generally kind, generally appreciative, but we go through stretches like this where we need to work on it. I made a rule, for instance, that thanks is an appropriate response for "I like your drawing of a demented beaver," or "here, let me help you untangle yourself from your own scarf," or such niceties as the passing of the salt shaker or the refilling of a milk glass. But an actual gift requires a full thank you, and also, this is the tricky part, looking right at the person's face when you say it. Even if you are practicing to be a ventriloquist, it is not acceptable for gratitude to appear to emanate from your hair, your elbow, or the backs of your knees. I'm strict, I know. After a classic incident at Whole Foods, the kids were given their Kids Club granola bars, and then both children tossed a thanks over their shoulder like it was salt for luck. I talked to them seriously in the car. We discussed my expectation that they remember please and thank you without whispered reminders, and my feeling that if we couldn't get back in the habit, maybe we should institute a no second chances rule. And just talking about it rendered it obsolete. The kids rebooted themselves, and we never needed to. But I'm thinking about myself now, wondering what it would be like if the same rule applied to me. How would I act, for instance, if I never got a chance to apologize? I am growing alongside my children. Or trying to.